It is 6:30 in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. Now time for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme as we say good evening to the host, Sluggy Dan.
Manners and respect. And I got my co-host next to me, Lashana. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Barbados.
Good. I've been introducing our special guest just as yet. 434-1790. We gathering kick off.
Yes.
We do an island tour. We do an island tour. It'll be from Oysters to St. Lucie.
Yep.
And Barbados, Lashana Drive.
Drove every step.
All of it. Like, I just thought that
every
was
step. Snow White is a celebrity, no, yeah.
Snow White worked hard. I tell myself that when you start driving right, that foot, that pressing you gas pedal, that
listen,
was
still pressing pedal. Listen, I went home and I had to massage that foot, boy. That foot is hard.
But it's worth it.
It's worth it.
And Barbados, I want you to tell me how much you know about We Gathering. If you are supporting We Gathering, and the answer is yes, you're supporting it, and why? That's by the way. Mm-hmm. But We Gathering 2025, Lashana, we can play some tunes for us. But first, this is something that everyone should support, especially our listeners, because thankfully we are fortunate that every Saturday we've got a lot of people on the outside listening in and tuning in, either calling or messaging on the WhatsApp from the outside. So first and quick, before we play this show and get to be special guests, I want you to talk to our people on the outside about We Gathering, how good the launch was for you.
The launch was amazing for multiple reasons. I think that having that interconnectedness where you got to liaise with passerby, and you got to liaise with not only persons who were from the parish organizing committees, but you also got to talk to families. You got to see the intergenerational connections coming out. And you also got that community spirit coming out, you know. When we got to the corner bar in Crab Hill, St. Lucie, there were so many generations of persons. There were grandmothers that came out with their children. There were grandfathers that had babies in arms. And everyone was just having a good time. And then inside the shop, you had persons now sampling the fish cakes, eating the food, everybody talking. A lady told me, listen, you look like you was a Griffith from St. Lucie. I tell her, well, that's true, right? This old lady never met yet. So you see, you get to meet people too in this gathering that you have not seen in a while.
You see that? That's really glad we have our special guest today, because we can take your time today and get deep in that conversation, right? From going to St. Lucie, I had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Right? And
it was an old lady too?
Yeah, always. But the old couple, but true, I got a partner of mine named Scooby. He's assistant director in the peace program. So because of him and young DJ Mastermind, who was also there, Mastermind, who made enough competitions and is DJ on Hot. He's only 18. People don't know that. People think that Mastermind is a big man because he's working on radio. But through them, we're going to Lucy a lot. And people always tell you, look, somebody in gear last name. Right. Like, fortunately, on some occasions, they got your last name, Watson. But on some occasions, give me another last name. You know, you got to call your grandmother. This last name, grandma, tell me, we don't know that was your grandmother name before she married. Like, so you see me, sister, boy, too, little Griffith from St. Lucie.
Yeah.
We gathering caters to that so much. When you spoke about this intergenerational, we can dive even deeper into that, because that's a topic we want to stick on how important it is for We Gathering to bring these different groups together, these different age groups together, and why. What are the benefits besides a good drive, besides good music, which I like, besides good food, Lashana?
Yeah.
What is the deeper reason? You know what I mean? What can happen after this, years to come? Yeah. What are we setting up ourselves for? I think that's an interesting discussion with special guests.
It's true. And then too, for me, you know, that intergenerational connection is so important because you learn a lot, right? So, like, persons that know I live in Silver Sands. So, for example, there's an old shopkeeper named Glenfield, right? Glenfield was telling me that years ago, Silver Sands used to be a fishing village. And everybody that lived in...
A fishing village.
And everyone that lived in Silver Sands were fishermen or fisherwomen. Fun fact, there were women who actually used to go and fish back then. It wasn't only like fishermen.
That's interesting.
It was women, and the women used to like go down Cheapside Market and haul the fish and thing. And I was learning this from him a couple weeks ago when I was talking to him, and he was explaining to me that there's so much history of where I live that people don't know about in Hebron. So just from talking to him.
So you see, now we gotta have the deeper discussion. Just, like, so we see where we're gathering is enough.
Correct. So just from talking to him, I learned so much.
Yeah.
Right? And then he was going into the fact that there's so many persons that may not know that even where I live used to be sea. Right? All in that area
used to be sea.
And then I turned and asked him, well, how where I live Breedy's land get a name? He said, well, Mr. Breedy. Well, it's common sense, right? Not to me.
Yeah,
it wasn't common sense.
No, it isn't.
But even things like that. So like with we gathering, having those, I call them elders.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's an African proverb that the elders know the way, but the youth carry the journey. Right?
Yes.
Having that.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! Girl, we're getting deeper. I just want to say one thing before we play this tune, Ollie, right? I just want to say one thing. Country people, right? So like St. Philip, St. Joseph, St. John,
mm-hmm.
you know, country people mm-hmm. is come out different.
Listen, I am not a country person, but I went to the Lord's School, and me and John have that in common, our special guest.
Listen, but country people.
When you go to school.
Country people.
You see, he cut me off, you know, because he didn't want to hear what you're about to say.
When you go to school,
the Lord's School, and you enjoy that community.
Yes.
And it's fitting that the theme for St. John
uh-huh.
is community. Because it's a community
yes.
that is formed at the Lord's yes. School and around. So, like, for example, in the motorcade, we went to Pool Woods St. John.
Yeah.
And I made a comment to a Comamarian. That you would know Pool Woods St. John if you went to law school, and Senator King can allude to this, and you had a little girlfriend or whatever, you would ease them up in Pool Woods St. John, uh-huh. and you would get your little girl up in there around the view,
uh-huh.
right? But they wouldn't know that because they went to Comamare, right?
That's a bit rough. That's a bit rough, but listen, right? Ollie, I want a tune first, right? Well, you already quite cute. I have a dad talk, but let me go, boy. Let me go.
Mm-hmm. Say yeah. Selfishly to pave a better way for you and
Celebrate
Heroes
Day.
Come on together.
Celebrate
uh-huh.
Heroes Day.
Bajan, Radio Man Ryan, VOB 92.9 FM, the nation's number one station. We're talking about We Gathering 2025.
In studio, we have the director of the We Gathering Secretariat, Senator John King, and he's here to tell us about all things We Gathering, but especially the Thanksgiving service happening tomorrow, Sunday, January 5th, 2025, at St. Lucie Parish Church, Nesfield, St. Lucie. And we're inviting all persons to come on down. So, Senator King, tell us a bit about what persons can expect tomorrow when they come to the Thanksgiving service.
Well, we'll be gathering at St. Lucie's Parish Church from 8 a.m. and it's going to be fantastic. Everyone has promised me that this is going to be a service like no other. In fact, they tell me it's going to be a Holy Ghost spirited session. So I'm looking forward to that. But really and really and truly, this is the beginning of us being able to come together as a community and give thanks. And give thanks for all of the things that we have been granted for so many years in this beautiful island we call home, Barbados. Mm-hmm. And as we gather in St. Lucie, I'm sending out a call to persons who, wherever you are in your own churches, do just what we'll be doing. Give thanks, because we've got a lot to be thankful for and we've got a lot to achieve. We've achieved a lot, but we got a lot to achieve in the future. And so this gathering will be with young people, not so young people, the elderly. Everybody's going to be there. In fact, even I should say dignitaries are going to be there also. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking forward to having a real good day of worship, as someone said to me. So we're gathering to worship tomorrow. That church service starts at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And for those persons, 8 a.m. in the morning, and those persons who are thinking about going, please get there early. They have a very dedicated congregation already. So I know all of them are going. And then the other thing that's going to happen is that the other parishes have said that they're sending delegations also. So yes, they're coming out to represent their parishes also. So everybody can be there.
Yes. And you know, the theme for St. Lucie is faith.
Faith.
And I know that last week we went to this beautiful service in Pike Corner, St. Lucie. Oh, and it was so uplifting. The only thing I needed was a tambourine.
I'm telling you.
That's all I needed was a tambourine. And I would have been right at home reminiscing on my Wesley Holiness days. So tell us a bit about why faith is so important, especially for a parish like St. Lucie.
I'll tell you, let me look at it even a little broader than just the parish itself. Let's look at the entire country itself, why faith is so important. If you look at our history, we've had a history that has been filled with pain. It's been very complex. And even today, there's still a lot of residue from that pain, that mistrust, that all the things that were created during those over the years that we need to heal from. And so the gathering gives us the opportunity to heal, to really begin to face up to a lot of these things and deal with them, but deal with them in a way that is non-threatening to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And as we gather, we're going to get ideas as to how we can better treat each other. We're going to find examples of how we can better treat each other. You know, it was interesting in a interview I did earlier today, mm-hmm. a lady called in and she spoke about the things that she does as an individual. And it takes one person at a time to change this entire world.
Yes.
She said that all she does is when she sees young people, she stops them. And she talks to them, mm-hmm. and she tries to explain to them things that if they're doing them wrong, mm-hmm. she would tell them, "You look, this is wrong," and she would explain why she said it is wrong, because she's looking out for them and she wants the best for them. That is a hallmark of mm-hmm. what Barbados was in the past.
Yes,
it's very powerful.
Yes,
and what we've noticed over the years that there's been a huge breakdown in communication between the various generations of people. Regathering is supposed to be that glue that brings us closer together. So while we may be using food and partying and sport and all of these things, the main goal is to bring this island to a sense of itself, a sense of understanding that we are our brother's keepers, and to understand that we have a contribution to make every single person, boys on the block. I hear people talking, boys on the block. Let me tell you, I'm telling you from this radio station, John King talking to you. The country needs you. Never you feel that you are an outcast or any of them things. The country needs you. All the people who are retired and feel sometimes like nobody wants them because now they're going to go away. No, I am saying to you from this radio station, the country needs you. The younger people need your wisdom. They need your guidance. Yes. They need your love. And the older people, for the younger people, the older people need your energy.
Yes.
They need your foresight. They need you to see the things that we don't see and to be able to carry us to the next level. So we all need one another in one way or the other.
Yes.
And religious persons, I always say to them, never you get caught up in this whole idea that there's the world and then there's you. No.
The world needs you. Yes.
The world needs you. So you got to get in there. As I used to say many years ago when I worked at another place, you got to get in the mud and do the work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent on all of us that when we are all doing these things, that we see ourselves in one another. And so we start off with this service tomorrow. And like I mentioned earlier, we expect dignitaries are going to be there. Persons who work with the secretariat are going to be there. People from various ministries are going to be there. I mean, just a genuine population from St. Lucie is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
People from the other parish organizing committees are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of it all, God is going to be there.
Amen.
God is going to be there. And once you have all of these people gathered, we begin the process of building a new, improved Barbados, one person at a time. And so we gathering.
Yes. And it's so lovely that you said that, because I remember that at the service that we went to last week, there was an old lady that made a joke.
Yes.
And he's been sharing that joke. So VOB listeners, there is a joke. If you want to know how to remember the all 11 parishes of Barbados,
that's right.
Senator King has this joke, and it made me laugh each time I heard it.
Well, she said that as the parishes go down, there is one woman, nine men, and everybody want to carry her to the church. So she had me crying. And what it really means is that there's one parish, St. Lucie, with a female name.
Mm-hmm.
There are nine other parishes, and then there's Christ Church. Where everybody wants to take her. So that's when I tell you about the older people and the wit that they have and the things that they come up with. That old lady said that to us while we were there. And we did have, LaShawna, a wonderful time at that church. It was fantastic. And we're going to have a great time tomorrow. So for all those people who feel like, you know, I'm going to get away from my normal routine on Sundays and join you guys, you are free to come and join us. In fact, we would love if you would join us.
Mm-hmm. So put on your Sunday best, and you can get in the bus, or you can take a nice drive up the road and come to St. Lucie Parish Church. It starts at 8 a.m., but we're advising you to get there early, because seating is a bit limited with how many persons are coming out to this event tomorrow. But outside of what's happening tomorrow, Senator King, there is the Signal event, the marquee event that is happening at beautiful Archer's Bay, where you can overlook and you see the harbor. You see everything from up there. So tell us a bit about this event. It's happening on the 21st of January, and it is family, food, and fun day.
Oh, it is going to be awesome. You know, this is the marquee or the key event for the St. Lucie Parish Organizing Committee. And we're inviting everybody to come up to Archer's Bay at that particular point in time. There are going to be things for the children. I know for sure that there's also movies that are going to be shown, especially for children. There's lots of food. There's lots of music. There's some fantastic local entertainment that is going to be there. You have the beautiful view of, as was said earlier, all around you can see Archer's Bay. If you've never been there, trust me, if you take a trip to it, you would never, in fact, I would dare say that if you go to Archer's Bay, you may not want to go back to where you are from. It is so beautiful, so beautiful, peaceful, freshest air you could breathe anywhere, fresh, and the people themselves are just fabulous and friendly. And so we want to invite everybody up there. That's the place that you have to be. I already know that, in fact, I shouldn't let this cat out of the bag, but I already know that there are folks who have planned their vacations around this particular event. And so you're going to see a number of, for those of us who don't know them, there will be strange faces. But for the people in St. Lucie who may be their relatives, faces that they may not have seen for a little while are going to be there. So I'm going to encourage everybody in Barbados, let's descend on Archer's Bay on the 21st of January, and we are going to have a ball. Remember last year it was at River Bay and we had a really good time, but they tell me that that will pale in comparison to what they have planned for 2025.
All right, so we have right now, we have the regathering jingle. We want persons to learn this jingle, sing That's along right. with us. When you see us on the street, when you see us tomorrow, if you know the jingle and you want to share it with us, our digital media team will be there. So make sure you learn the lyrics. This That's is right. the regathering jingle 2025.
If you know you're from Bokeh, follow your heart home don't hold. Want a celebration when majors together we gather. And the future that we can build together. Majors, come along, we gather it. Come along, come along, come along. Oh, oh, oh. Time to spread the vibe. 2025. Come along, oh, oh, oh. If you know you're from Bokeh, follow your heart home, don't hold. Want a celebration when majors. And the future that we can build together. Majors, come along, we gather it. Come along, come along, come along. Oh, 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 oh. Time to spread the vibe. 2025. Come along, oh, 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 oh. If you know you're from Bokeh, follow your heart home, don't hold. Want a celebration when majors. And the future that we can build together. Majors, come along, we gather it. Come along, come along, come along. Oh, 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 oh. Time to spread the vibe. We gather 2025. Come along, oh, oh.
Yes, please. We want you to come along home. And in studio, we have the social media coordinator at Nathan Burrows, and he will be telling you a bit about how you can follow We Gathering so you have all up-to-date information. You don't feel left out. Those of you who can't join us physically tomorrow in St. Lucie, you can follow the page so that you can be with us virtually to see what's happening. So good evening to you.
Good evening and good evening, Barbados, and those listening across the world. We gathering, there's no other word to say, no other way to say, but we gathering for 2025 from all the way to January, all the way down to December. And you can follow us at We Gathering Barbados, where you can get all of your official updates. We want you to follow We Gathering Barbados for official updates. So no fake pages, We Gathering Barbados on Instagram and also on Facebook, where you can get all of your live updates. Any questions, queries you have, you can send us a DM. You could send us, you could comment on the page. You can send us an email and we will be there. There's also the website, We Gathering Barbados, that is in our bio, where it has all of the updates. So from pictures to videos, from things that make you feel nostalgic, and we're hoping that when you look at the page, if you're abroad, you just want to come home. And as we encourage you to come home, and for Bajans looking, we want you to get involved in all of the activities that we have going on, from your granny, your cousin, your uncle, your sister, the little ones, you know, even the disabled community. We want everyone to be a part of this initiative, because We Gathering is something that makes you feel so proud to be a Barbadian, something that brings us together from the block, from the primary schools, from the hospital, wherever you are. We want you to be a part of We Gathering 2025.
All right, and thank you so much. We're going back to Senator King. Please, once again, remind Barbadians why they should put on their nice clothes, whether it be a harmony dress or a dress you had put down since COVID. We want you to come long down and come long home, back down to St. Well, you know, we say back down, but some people say that it's up. Right?
It's St. Lucie is up.
And this will be an ongoing debate if it's down or up. Because from Silver Sands, it's down for me. but from Tongue, it's up.
Yeah, we going up St. Lucie and just go across to St. Philip. That's how it is work. So anyway, the thing is, this is a chance for us to start off the correct way. And by giving thanks, like I said earlier, for all that we have been able, we've been blessed. I mean, I always hear people say, "Oh, John, I'm too blessed to be stressed and all these things." And then they'd be calling that they can't get a bill paid and this, all sorts of things. But this gives us the opportunity to really take some time out to get in contact with our spiritual side, and also to meet new friends. Because every single initiative of the gathering, every event, you should make a new friend. You should go to that event and leave there meeting and knowing somebody that you didn't know before, and that person should be your friend. And once we do that, I'm telling you that you will see some kind of changes in Barbados that you would never dream possible. Because when we work together and we play together and we pray together, they always talk about that, the family that stays together, prays together. I want the Bajan family to stay together. So tomorrow we're going to pray together.
And you know, Sluggy and I were having a conversation, it was 2 weeks ago, where we were talking about a lot of our formative experience happened through church.
Correct.
Like, you used to look forward, for me, I grew up in the Anglican faith, used to look forward summer vacation to go on excursions with the church.
Yes.
And you know, a granny or a neighbor would come and they would tell you, well, the church is having this thing, and you will go to church maybe 3 or 4 times in the week, because you're going with Sister Sue and then you're going with Sister Ski, and they're taking you to church and you're going to various churches. All across Barbados.
Let me tell you, LaShawna,
with various people. Yeah.
Y'all went church irregular compared to us. We had to go Sunday school.
Yes.
We had to go then to the main service, then the night service.
And Bible study.
Bible study. Mm-hmm. During the week, the youth service. Mm-hmm. And it went on and on and on. And at the time, you were kind of like angry sometimes, you know, like you would rather go and do something else. But as you grow older.
Yes.
And you understand as you grow older, why.
Reasons why. He is the head coach of both the white ball and the red ball is his ability to get some of the white ball players to play red ball cricket. Is there any truth in that? Is that really true, Miles? That's why you gave him the appointment? That's what Dr. Ford told me.
The main reason for Darren's appointment is that he has shown across the two formats for which he is currently responsible, that he has been able to lay out a plan, chart a course for the team, and show progress in that direction. And I think that is what we are missing in our test team at the moment, that, you know, we haven't really found an identity. We can't clearly see, you know, a way forward, a plan to move forward. And certainly if the course that he charts includes getting some of the players coming across from playing white ball, playing test cricket, if he has the capacity to get that done, it is something that that we will welcome. As I said, we see cricketers, and while some guys may be pigeonholed as white ball players, we definitely recognize that, you know, they do have skill sets that could benefit us in test cricket.
Dr. Ford, any questions for Miles?
Hi, Miles. Recently, some youngsters went for the 2-week spin camp. I may have missed the review of how that went. Can you
Good question.
Tell us what happened there?
Yes.
By all reports, it was quite successful. It was good exposure for the young batsmen. So they would have gone to the Chennai Academy. They would have had a combination of some work in the nets and skill development, as well as some opportunity to play both red ball and white ball matches, to, you know, where they would have the opportunity to put into practice the things that they learned. And we are actually following up that initiative in a few days' time, where we have that coach coming back from India and partaking in a camp, a batting camp in Antigua, and that has obviously given us the opportunity to invite, you know, a few other batsmen who didn't have the opportunity to make it to India. So that coach will come, and he will build upon what he did in India with the seven guys that went there. And he will also have the opportunity to work with a few other promising players who didn't make that initial cohort to go to India.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to you earlier regarding the CWY upcoming tournament, and my take on it is that CWA is hamstrung by finances, which precludes us to go back to a format where players got to experience different conditions and also got the requisite number of games. And in order for us to choose players which would then flourish at the A-team level and further. But to that end, seeing we just can't play enough games, we just can't have them in different places. Don't you think maybe it might be good for players who are on the fringes, let's say a McKenzie or a Wickham or someone even who went on this 2-week course and did stuff with spin, aren't any of them good enough to travel with a team and even train with a team if they're on the fringes, if they can't get enough cricket? Because we agree that the conditions and the exposure doesn't develop them. So you think maybe it might be necessary to do something else and seek funding for that initiative to give that extra exposure?
Yeah, certainly. Again, this batting camp in India was one initiative. For the women, we had the opportunity to place
really talking
them.
About you know, trying to give them other opportunities. I know about the camps, but we're doing that. But we say it's not enough. I mean, other countries, you see a Jaiswal, you saw Australia with a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do our younger players get a chance to push beyond what's there now if they can't get to rub shoulders with the best cricketers who never come back to play the regional tournaments and get that exposure? Isn't there a need for another initiative outside of what you're doing
Good question.
Yes, but we have been integrating younger players. I mean, young Jedediah Blades played in the recent One Day series. Jewel Andrew was with the team in Sri Lanka. So we have been taking those opportunities where they have come along to integrate those younger players, even though we know that they may not quite be at that international ready stage. We do recognize that, you know, having them with the team, giving them the opportunity to see the level at which the team prepares, that those things will help to move them along the pathway. So we are definitely open to every opportunity that we had. And so what I was saying was that the young ladies were placed with teams in Tasmania and Australia. So if we have similar opportunities for our young male players, then definitely that is something that we will be looking at. So we are not limiting our initiatives to just camps. You know, we are looking for every opportunity to give them, you know, as wide an education as possible. And just to mention that while we have not increased the number of matches in the West Indies Championship, we are going back to a home and away situation. So teams will move around and get the opportunity to play in different conditions around the region. We are introducing day-night fixtures. So there will be day-night fixtures in the West Indies Championship as well. So players will have the opportunity to play under the lights in pink ball. And, you know, the opportunities that would also allow for persons to come and look at cricket, you know, after the end of their workday. We are also going to introduce the Kookaburra ball. Because, as you know, most of world cricket is played with either Dukes or Kookaburra. And while we are very familiar with our Dukes ball and it does well for us in our conditions, we found that in conditions where we have to go and play and use the Kookaburra ball, you know, there is a bit of a learning curve there as well. So we are trying to do as much as we can, you know, within the parameters that we are working with to ensure that our players have as wide an education as possible, as much experience as possible with different things, so that when they do get to the international level, that, you know, they would hardly ever be seeing anything for the first time.
Well, we got just before you ask the next question, let's welcome Dr. Kishore Shallow, the president of Cricket West Indies, to our show. Yes, Doc.
Yeah, last question. Any update on what's happened with the 50 over tournament? There were some matters that concluded, yeah. So I was wondering.
Good question, Doc.
Mr. Butcher, I was just about to say that I really appreciated when Dr. Ford led that program a few weeks ago. You know, he was very kind to me.
I like that. Oh, wonderful. Good shot, according to Ken Husbands.
As he did then, you know, he gave me an opportunity to warm up as he is doing now. But the Super 50, things are pretty much in the same position in terms of the outcome. There is no champion. The outstanding matter is that of the charge that was laid against Mr. Rifa. So the disciplinary committee, you know, has been convened, and they are currently just walking through mutually convenient dates. Some very busy people. So we are just trying to get a mutually convenient date for them to hear the matter relating to Mr. Rifa.
There's a hearing then for Mr. Rifa, the disciplinary committee.
Yes,
I just want to confirm that.
There will be a hearing, yes.
And what about John Campbell? This case is done. I mean, he went into a plea bargaining, so he's he was thrown under the bus, apparently, by
that,
the Jamaica.
That matter is settled.
Yes. Well, of course, Wayne Lewis is going to join us a bit later on because I'm just beginning to wonder about the representation or lack of, as far as Weeper is concerned. Just before we go to Philo, Roland Butcher, that you fired sometime last year, is saying, Andrew asked Miles why CW are not supporting my girls' program. Miles, that's for you. Roland Bush is listening. He wants to know why you're not supporting his girls. Is that true, Miles? You're not that kind of guy.
We support all cricket all across the West Indies. But I know Mr. Butcher's program is well looked after.
Mm.
You know, he has the benefit of some very well endowed benefactors.
Well said. Okay, let's pause our business because when we come back, we're going to open the lines. Of course, I know Akimi's got one or two very important questions as well, and we're going to come back and certainly get Philo's questions to you and, of course, to his very good friend, Dr. Shallow, that would have put him on a committee some time ago and then, I think, released him. Mason and Guest Broughton Association, where the good friends at ASFE work around the best show of the day.
Yes, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 7:11, time is flying. Philo Wallace, my good friend. You've got, of course, Miles Bascom, and you've also got President Dr. Kishore Shallow. It's over to you, Philo.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. That's what I say. Happy New Year to Dr. Shallow. I wish him all the very best going forward. He has a lot on his plate. ICC is looking to put us into tier two. But I hope that Dr. Shallow have good representation when he goes to the ICC meetings. He has to have a strong back. I want to ask Miles, though, about we're changing. Why change the stand, the ball from the standard Duke's ball to the Kookaburra? Another question, Devin Thomas, what about his suspension? Is there any news on him? The importance of the young girls going on to Malaysia, what do you expect of those from those young ladies?
Mm.
Are we going to get some feedback on that trip is going?
Miles? So
those are three questions. I just try to think.
Yeah, Miles?
Okay. I usually forget to bring my notebook for Philo because Philo keeps them firing pretty quickly.
I can repeat.
So I'll start with the last one because that is the easier one to remember. So the young ladies in Malaysia, the West Indies under 19 girls, we sent them over a bit before the support period because obviously it's a long trip. And, you know, they have to recover as well as, you know, it's a completely different setting from what they are accustomed to. So some acclimatization would be required as well. So they have a bit of a camp leading into that World Cup. They have had a couple of camps, you know, and they had a series against the USA. So they had pretty good preparation. They also went to England and competed in a tournament there. So, you know, we do expect good things from them. Coach Samuels, you know, has been putting in some good work with them. So I'm keen to see how they go over there. They don't have the easiest draw, but you know, that's how those tournaments are. But definitely we expect to see, you know, some good showings.
Right. Devin Thomas, what has become of his case, his suspension? What is the position on that?
Mm, good question, Phil.
Well, I have not heard anything new relating to Devin Thomas. So as far as I'm aware, you know, that is running its course as was decided. Yeah.
I see.
And then the other question was related to the balls, the Kookaburra, and the Duke's ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we are
because when I played the Duke's ball used to stay up longer because I had a bit more lacquer because of conditions in the region. I know you said that they're going to have some pink ball games, which is not the first time it's going to be happening in four-day cricket, but it's going to be an experience because we've seen pink ball test matches coming on the horizon. Is it that you would just be using the Kookaburra pink ball, or you're going to try using Kookaburra and Jukes to see which one? Because you want to get the best for our players. I get it to try to understand conditions better with this pink ball.
Correct. So it's a case. It's not that we are moving away from our Duke's ball. We will continue to use our Duke's ball at home. But the challenge with using our Duke's ball across all of our tournaments is that as soon as you select a player who has only played regional cricket, and then you put him in conditions where, you know, they drop a red Kookaburra in his hands, he doesn't know what to expect necessarily from that ball. And many times, that Kookaburra ball does not offer as much assistance, or if it does, it doesn't assist in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity to expose our players to that Kookaburra ball. So they will have some experience bowling with it. They'll start to get an understanding of what it does, and it will force them to actually, mm-hmm. you know, think about it critically. Because now, you know, you actually have to make a switch from one game to the next. We will only use it for a couple of rounds. So by and large, we'll play most of the first class season with the Duke's ball that we are accustomed to. But definitely that exposure, I think, is going to help our players and prepare them for playing, especially in the overseas conditions.
Philo, just hold your horses. Akeem has to go. Right, he's got one fight. I'm going to come back to you, Philo. Akeem has to go. You know, he just got married recently, like Shamar Joseph. I understand he got married recently. Is that true, by the way, Akeem, that Shamar Joseph got married? And were you invited? I know that Brandon Corlett got an invitement, as we would say in the Caribbean. Is that true that Shamar got married recently?
Based on photo evidence, yeah, he would have recently did his nuptials.
So
yeah,
so you don't know?
But based on the photos you would have posted on the social media, it would 100% give you the impression that he got married over the New Year's period or so.
Well, I'm telling you, he got married. Brandon Corlett was invited, and he's got married to a sweetheart lady there that he's been with for quite a long time. We really want to congratulate him. Final question. I know you got to go off and do some daddy duties. You got a question for Miles Bascom.
Yeah, I just was curious about what's in store for Guyana from an international perspective. It's in terms of series, it's on the basis that in 2024, CWI would have done something that in terms of when touring teams come to the Caribbean, they'd have carried them in conditions not necessarily favorable to their style of play. So I was curious with Australia example coming, whether they would go to the traditional territories due to the tourism attraction, or they will look to go to probably territories where it mightn't be as pacey as such and be probably more, you know, spin friendly in the case of a Guyana, or whether Guyana has other international tours on the agenda for 2025. So we're just curious about from that angle.
Mm-hmm. Miles?
We are finalizing the schedule. What we are trying to do, based on the fact that we now have a complete FTP for men and women through 26 and early 27, we are trying to do a schedule that, you know, looks at it over this cycle of the men's FTP. So we are completing that process, and we'll pretty much be announcing these upcoming tours, the home series, pretty soon. So you will get that information quite shortly, but definitely we are going to continue to look at how we can leverage our conditions against the various oppositions, but still keeping in mind that, you know, we also have to ensure that we choose conditions that suit our strengths as well. And when you look at, you know, one of the challenges that you'll have, for example, against Australia is that when you look at our pace attack, which has been doing most of the damage for us, you know, similarly, that will also...
Miles, just be careful with that word damage. Miles, be careful with that word damage.
Well,
Don't use it loosely.
Well, in terms of percentage of wickets taken, our pace attack has been taking the majority of wickets. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, yes, I know you're a good student. I'm told, Akeem, that in addition to Australia, we're going to come at you, Philo, and I want perhaps before we get the first question into Dr. Shallow, I'm told that Pakistan will be playing 3 ODIs and 3 T20s in the Caribbean this year. Is that true, Miles? A little birdie told me that.
Yes, we do have a white ball series against Pakistan that consists of 3 ODIs and 3 T20s. Mm,
Philo, you didn't know that, Philo? Doctor, yeah. Philo, you didn't know that, did you? Talk to me, Philo.
No, Andrew. But obviously the way how ICC is structuring the tours is that you no longer have these full tours. You have, like, when Pakistan do that, then they're going to come over the white ball series. So it's a little difficult. I want to ask Miles, obviously, he spoke about those boys that went to England.
Yeah.
I want to know if our head coach is going to be retooled to accommodate this added pressure that he's going to have now with red ball and white ball.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
And you thought about the structure that he has with T20 and white ball cricket. He's going to do it for the 4-day cricket. For the 5-day cricket. Mm. Are we just going to ignore Andres Coley, what he has done, or he's going to be incorporated into our system? Because we can't ignore that we won against Australia. So he had to be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
And what has become of Sean Tate, who was our right ball coach for a couple of tours? I know we don't hear anything about what he has done, and he's gone off.
Good, very, very good question.
Very good question, Philo. And they're putting in place for our fast bowlers.
Because
fast bowlers is important. We know saw a man there bowling. He's consistent and he's strong. Our structures are going to put in place for our fast bowlers.
Yeah.
Coming into this 4-day competition.
Miles, then we go to Dr. Shallow.
All right. So we have to discuss with Darren exactly how we are going to ensure that he has all the support necessary to ensure that he is able to take the load of all 3 teams. Definitely, we will try our best to see how we can keep Andre Coley in the picture. As you mentioned, he has done some very commendable work. And he is one of the best coaches that we have in the region, easily. So we definitely do not have the resources, you know, to disregard somebody of his caliber. And there was another question there, Philo. Sorry.
Philo, what was the other question?
Fast bowlers.
Mm-hmm. Very good question.
Okay. Miles? So, yeah, it's a really good question. Ideally, what we were aiming to do is to have a full-time bowling coach, who works outside of just tours, which is what we have. Yeah, you mentioned Sean Tate. Sean Tate was engaged pretty much on a tour by tour basis, and then once the tour was completed, we wouldn't see him until the next tour. So I had discussed with both coaches, that ideally the framework that we want to move to is to have somebody on a more full-time basis that works with the players while they're on tour, but is also available to them, and not just by long arm support, but available to them to work at the academy in Antigua, for example, or to come to their territory and spend some quality time with them. So that is something that we are going to continue to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are also trying to do is to upskill our franchise coaches. So we have a coaching symposium that is upcoming from January 13th to 15th. So it's a 3-day symposium where the franchise coach and assistant coach, they all come to Antigua. They will be there while the batting camp and the spin bowling camp are taking place in Antigua. So they will get to interact with those coaches as well. But they will also be be working with our coaching development consultant, Mr. James Davidson, a New Zealander, who has set up a number of presentations for them from experts across the world. So one of the things that they will be paying particular attention to would be loading. So understanding how we get our fast bowlers ready to perform at their optimal, you know, in tournaments and in tours, you know, and you know, how we ensure that we don't overload them or we don't underload them, so that we can get the best out of them. So those are the kinds of things that we plan to do. Until we get to the point where we have a specialist fast bowling coach full time, then we will try to ensure that we expose our franchise coaches to best in class in terms of ensuring that they are able to impact the fast bowlers that they are charged with in their franchises.
All right. It's quite appropriate for us to say good evening to the president of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow. Dr. Shallow, all the best to you. Happy New Year to you. First of all, your reaction to the proposed two-tier system. We heard from Miles Bascom. I'm sure that the entire world will want to hear from Dr. Shallow how he feels about that.
Doctor? Thanks, Andrew, to the panel. I don't think I've spoken to anyone for the year yet. So happy New Year all to you and your family, also to all your listeners. Andrew, you started the program on the same level of excitement that you ended 2024. We all look forward to, I'm sure I could speak on behalf of your listeners, your audience generally, that we look forward to a magnificent year with Mason Guest.
Yes, indeed.
You know, before I get to your question, though, let me just take the time. I don't know if you did it. I joined a few minutes late, but in 2024, we have had some really great performances from some of our players, and I think it's appropriate that we I've seen a couple of our players even nominated, you know, with the ICC award. I think Rutherford Chauffeur, Rutherford nominated for ODI Player of the Year, Shamar Joseph as Emerging Player of the Year. Also on the T20 circuit, we would have seen Haley Matthew as the leading run scorer in 2024. Nicholas Poran also the leading male scorer across the T20 circuit. And you have others performing well. Akil is up there as well as one of the leading performers in 2024. So I think it's necessary
absolutely
to recognize them and
absolutely
on his thing as Darby and on. So I just wanted to do that, Andrew. I think we are to, you know, recognize when our players do well. But with regards to the two-tier system, it's interesting. It's a sensitive issue. Based on my research that I've done, this matter has been on the table since about 2004, thereabout, when, you know, several individuals, you know, were looking at ways to keep Test cricket interested. I mean, that in itself shows how long people have been anticipating or considering Test cricket to be on the decline. You know, I don't know if it's time that we accept that Test cricket as it is still very exciting. If you even look at series, and one of the issues that I'm sure some people have with the two-tier approach or proposal, you know, and I quote proposal using it loosely because it hasn't been a proposal on the table since I've been a director. So I could state that it has not been on the agenda of ICC since I've been a director for nearly 2 years now.
Okay.
But when you can look at, you know, Bangladesh West Indies series recently, I'm sure people would have enjoyed some excitement. In 2024, West Indies beat England. We beat Australia in very exciting games as well. So it is by means, I believe, that Test cricket is dying, right? Look at the recent Test match in Australia, I think it hit record numbers.
Right.
All right. However, one who believes that we always have to try to identify ways of improve. All right. So it may not be a case of addressing a dying format, but looking at ways to make it even more exciting. And I've seen responses, a few, including our very own Sir Clive Lawry and Michael Holin, right? And it's very interesting to just have the discussion and so on. What I would assure you, Andrew, and all listening, including the panel, of course, is that whatever decision I support at the ICC level must be in alignment with what is best for West Indies cricket and cricket by extension across the globe, right? That is the position I hold. I'm sure that if this matter were to reach ICC, it would be well ventilated. And, you know, all the facts and rationale for whatever position would come before us, and we'll make a decision then. But again, I repeat, rest assured that whatever decision I make in terms of support will be in the interest of cricket.
Do you fear that we may play in the second tier, though? Because, you know, the reality is that India and England, these are the big guns in world cricket. Do you fear that we may play against Afghanistan and Zimbabwe and Sri Lanka and Ireland, Dr. Shallow?
Yeah. Again, if you look at the conversations over the years about this particular two-tier model, right, we have had several positions and views. Right, some for, some against. I haven't seen enough. We haven't discussed it at length as to how it's going to work, okay. Right? Who is going to play who? You saw, I think Michael Holin put out a magnificent piece, right? Showing that in the event that we were to go with this model, the only possible way it could work or how it could really work, right? That is an article I would suggest that, you know, anyone of keen interest in this matter would read. But it is still a matter that is, you know, I think needs a lot of answered, a lot of discussions, understanding of the potentials and so on, any implications for countries, how we are going to support all the countries, whether in whatever group one, group two, or whatever it is called, or if it is even practical at all, right? So it'd be premature of me to really say much more on that.
So you're saying it may not be practical? Is doctors that you're saying it may not be practical? Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
I'm saying that I want to see more information. At this point, it has not been discussed at ICC since I've been a director.
All right. So, okay. Let's take a call. We're going to go to Dr. Ford. And of course, Basil has got some questions as well. We got also some calls coming in, 441790. Let's take a quick call. Hello, welcome, Miss and Guest.
Hi, 733. How are you? How are you, Mr. Mason? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Yeah. I hear the discussion tonight about Virat Kohli.
Yes.
I tell the boy that talk about Kohli. Don't laugh at Kohli. Kohli had the worst year this year. Averaging 29. None of the best team players ain't got it. Keep off your back. The next thing I get not here now. Mr. Mason, what it is that everybody on from Real Marifa, the West Indies cricket is dead trouble. And still, if we look and get U.S. cricket get back on its foot, we trying to deal with Real Marie for the 50 over match, which we know about, the money gone, and everybody hurried up and everything. Mr. Mason, this thing is unfair to people. We want to hear what really going on with the 50 over match. Everything do to him, Mr. Reefer. Let the man get the money. Right? It is unfair for a man to play cricket and then he can't say, but you can't get the money. And another thing, I understand the West Indies game soon go play against Ireland and Bangladesh and all them low countries. You can remember
how they tell you all that. The time.
You know how they tell you all the whole time last year. Every West Indies don't want themselves, they're going to lose their status.
Ooh.
And look what we come to know.
Oh, dear.
The horse, it depends what we got looking at scramble now.
The horse is out the pen and not the stable.
There's a saying. Hello?
That's an interesting one.
A youngster can't play a test cricket. How do you know a youngster can't play a test cricket when you ain't try? We on fair grills. We on fair Wickham. And you're going to bring charge and all that 34, 36. How do you get with a damn man? Let me play some cricket. My little youngster can't play cricket. Shana Paul made the team at 19 years old.
Yes.
I went Shana Paul get in the air. When the frigate Shana Paul when the calling in the room in Texas, the Puerto Rican only look play beer on test cricket. That was an embarrassing to your man. Any man you want, you're running my free cricket and not with that. Andrew West is a great poor. I thank you very much.
Thanks for your contribution. Let's try and sneak two or three calls in before we go back to Dr. Shallow and, of course, the wonderful panel. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yeah, good night to the panel.
Now, good night to you, sir.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
I tell you, we need a batting, a fielding, a bowling,
yes,
and a psychologist with the West Indies.
A batting, say that again, batting.
A batting coach, a fielding coach.
Yes.
A bowling coach, and a psychologist.
And a psychologist, okay.
Yeah.
And a poet too? Forward. And a poet too?
Because the poet, if I was wrong, they would be doing well. I saw Dr. Ford recently in Spain to score me highly.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And
yeah, I like a lot of humor, you know.
I know. Happy New Year to you. Let's take another call before we go back and talk to Dr. Shallow and Miles Bascom. Hello, welcome.
Good night,
Mason and guest. How are you? Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Mr. Mason, Happy New Year to you and everybody. Wish me all good health.
Yes.
Mr. Mason, you know what we got to try to get in the players' head. That they're trying to get the West Indian cricket back on top. No, the players is who we got, Kung Pan. I mean, these fellas got to go there and fight.
Yes.
Don't care who to bring to beat, the player beat them. And you know, I can't understand what we can play cricket here. Maybe we want certain men. We got to get the best to beat people. We can't pick these people to go and beat people. We got to pick the best to be going to beat people. We can't get the best to be playing all the time. So we can't beat the boy, Mr. Mason? We can't go there and be bits and pieces. We got to pick the best team. I know you pick your best team. You don't pick your... But who want Galong, let it go along. And because, let me tell you something. When they're done with reading, I want them, you know. Them got to realize that when the investors get the more, them will get the more too.
So call you feel that we are going to be demoted? You feel so?
But Mr. Mason, the first thing we hear, you know that. As we said, I did hear that the only boy the back of me was England and India when they want to kick away. And we players got to get in the head that we got to get me players. Look, we had some players that play cricket and can't play test cricket. We had four play test cricket. We had Cheers play test cricket.
Right.
All the men play when we beat England. You remember when the Richards and them were who stand when we get beat. And I hear about God said, they said we bring a school team out there, and the school team, they want to beat England. And come down here, beat it down here too. And all them players gone off the radar.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We got several calls backed up. We really want to. Time is very tight. Let's try and take one or two more before we go back quickly. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Mason?
Yeah. Hello.
Good evening to you, sir. You and your guest.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
I want to tell you, I like to think outside the box, you see?
Yes.
I want to tell you that if it's really going to happen and the West Indies are going to be demoted, it might be a blessing in disguise. Because what will happen, what I will see happening is that the West Indies, with good coaching and good practice and everything, can beat the teams below them, Sri Lanka and all them, Bangladesh and all them teams. So the one the top teams now will have to come back down, depending on if they're demoting one or two at a time. Well, they will have to come back down. And that will give the opportunity to the West Indies to go up. And once they get up, they can stay up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to hear Shallow on this.
Yeah. Of course, we'll get a reaction from Dr. Shallow on it. Thanks for your contribution. One more before we go back to the panel. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest. 7:39 in the country. Hello, welcome.
Welcome. Good night. Happy New Year to the whole.
Happy New Year. Is this our caller from Canada?
Exactly. Listen to me, Mason. I want to say something very quickly, as quick as I could, because there are callers back to it.
Sure.
No. We have a West Indies team, we had coaches. Every time we win, we run with the coaches. It looked like we could only keep coaches when they're losing. Now, next thing, we got coaches. And we coaches can't see from number one to number six going over the all stampede. And we hiring these men and paying them money. And everybody else can see none of the first six batsmen we got in over the all stampede. Next thing, the first six batsmen batting on leg stump against the spinners, brought it forward and get them bowled. And we got coaches paying coaches. Another thing. Now, everybody talking about what the ICC say. It is relevant, Mr. Mesa. Everybody know it's going to happen. The reason why. I hear Bas coming, they've come here tonight. Mm. And before they're honest with themselves and say, we did not pick the legends to take me forward. That is one of the reasons the ICC are coming straight up and telling you. But they're telling you diplomatic. Villa is not leading from the front, so we can do what we like. God bless. Have a great new year.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Miles, just before Dr. Ford comes in, Alzari Joseph has an all-format contract. Why is he not in Pakistan? I need to know that, Miles. Why is Alzari Joseph not in Pakistan?
We don't have contracts of different formats. We only have retainer contracts. They're all the same. And why he isn't in Pakistan? We did request some time off for this period to play in a league. But of course, we looked at what was likely, what the likely conditions would be in Pakistan. Of course, we know against India, against England, Pakistan employed a predominant spin approach, and that is likely to be the case again against us. So it's very likely that our fast bowlers will not be doing the bulk of the work for us in Pakistan. So we did see an opportunity that we could give Alzari that opportunity to go and play.
Where is he playing?
If I recall, I think it's ILT20.
So he's playing ILT20, all format contract. And you're telling me, Miles Bascom, that because you're using spinners and all that, you give him the time off? Oh, Miles, you're sharper than that. Come on. Not a missing guess. That's a weak answer. Very weak. I must admit. Very weak.
Andrew, one of the things that we have attempted to do, and I think to a great degree we have been able to achieve it, is striking a balance with our players. Right, it is critical that we afford our players the opportunity to earn on the T20 circuit. I'm sure a fellow like Philo was playing the game would attest to that. It's a very short career,
okay?
Right, and listen, the one individual for sure, if you have to pick one individual, one player who you question in terms of commitment. Cricket is Alzari Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Alzari plays a format ever since he has been a 19-year-old, right, and got picked in our teams. He has made himself available, right? But it is a matter for us. And if we are not able to strike a balance with our players, chances are we are likely to lose them.
Okay.
More than have, rather than have playing over an extended period.
All right. Doc, any reaction to that? I hope I wasn't too harsh, David Miles, saying he produced a weak answer.
Oh, I guess I already know how that situation will play out. So I will move on,
Leroy. Leroy.
I am much more fascinated by President Shallow being our most recent ICC representative.
Sure.
Being aware of the tier system as a discussion and a proposal for so many years would recommend Michael Holding, who I suspect is less knowledgeable on it, as required reading on the possibilities of having a two-tier system and that being of interest. But, you know, making a decision, what I mean is that it's been up for so long.
Right.
And as our representative, I think we've had enough time to ventilate and as an organization have some sort of more definitive stance on where we would be putting our support in such a thing, even if they were to have some alterations of the previous discussion. But be that as it may, if the decision is based on what's in the best interest of Cricket West Indies, and we do agree that financing is one of the things that is in our best interest, I would really like to know, what are the other parameters succinctly that would help us, help him and the organization to make the decision regarding the tier system?
Very good question.
It must be fair. It must be a case of, let's say you propose the two tier in terms of relegation promotion. It must be a case where the teams and the lower tier has that they have a very good opportunity to go up and stay in that category, right? So in terms of funding, is it going to be more equitable, right? Michael Holland suggested, you know, those in the eighth tier playing or traveling to the second tier so that they could continue to generate revenues and things from media rights and so on. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be that approach? You know, how long is is it going to be a 2-3 year cycle or 4 year cycle? How long is it? So there's so many questions that are yet to be answered, Dr. Ford, which is why I'm saying it would be premature of me to even, you know, attempt to arrive at a position.
Yeah, well, I was just saying that if there's a matter that's impending and it affects an organization, I think an organization has to know the parameters under which they want to operate and what they would support, meaning that suggestions from individuals outside that group, even though of interest and might have some merit, I think that Cricket West Indies itself should have looked at it already and have what they want to propose if that were to be considered.
Just to respond to that quickly, Doc, we at Cricket West Indies level, we haven't had that discussion either.
Ever. Well, I think you should have, because it's been up for discussion for so long.
Well, even since
an oversight.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I accept your opinion on it, but even since I've been on the board 2017 until now, I can't recall a discussion on a two-tier system. Even it was, the last time it was proposed was 2016, based on the documentation I've seen. And I've only seen that over the last 24 hours, right, after I check. It has not been discussed, which I could only assume that it didn't come up with whether Ricky Skerritt or Dave Cameron in 2016, right? So it hasn't come up since then. So there's no, but I'm sure that we will have a discussion on it. And discussion just to say, well, it's plain blank, we are not supporting it, or we are willing to support it, and so on. And so I suspect we will have a discussion. But bear in mind, Dr. Ford, that this could easily be a rumor, right? And from my position, it has not been discussed. All I've seen is what you have seen in the media.
That's a big statement, right, Dr. Shallow. Yeah. It could be a rumor.
No, well, all I've seen. Well,
fake news.
Based on what
I have. That's a big statement to make. That would make primetime sports tomorrow morning, Dr. Shallow.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it out and ask Paul Mears to bring that.
We have another 12 minutes where we could get some more breaking news. I won't be clear that one yet.
Well, I mean, the only thing I'm saying is that I think an organization with such a vision and such a grasp of their sport should really have discussed it at some stage. That was just the point I was trying to make, but I was a bit long-winded in that making that point. But you know, this two-tiered discussion, and knowing that we're a team without much bench strength, I mean, we've seen India bring on all these other players, we've seen Australia bring on a debutant who makes 90 odd in a test, a catch, two wickets, and but we don't have that bench strength. So the question is, how do we as a cricketing nation,
right,
ensure the availability of our best players, knowing that we are so weak and being considered to be in that tier we don't want to be in? Don't you think, as an organization, we have to really work harder at making our best players available more often.
And I think Miles and his team, they have really done well in terms of moving us in that direction. We have seen a bit more commitment from our players. Still some work to go. We would like to see more players offering themselves to play across all three formats. I think Darren Sammy's appointment, as alluded here in the program earlier, is one of those moves where we believe that he will be able to have some, you know, very frank discussion with some players and encourage them. It'll be one on the same environment across all formats. Mm. I'm sure that may help to advise a few players coming in. And, you know, it's continued discussion on trust, right?
Mm.
So being able to afford players like we just did with Azari, Shea Hope and Rutherford in the previous, right? I mean, these things go a long way. And I think with that sort of trust from the players in the organization, knowing that we have the interest at heart, I'm sure we could probably see a few more coming forward and wanting to play across all formats.
What we're going to do, let's pause for business call. We've got some commercials backed up. Let's try to sneak as many questions in as possible. Interesting, all stories with Daniel Breton have been written, have proven to be true. The story is being followed by all major outlets. Tell Dr. Shallow to read Michael Atherton on Thursday. He will see the rumor. Very interesting comment coming as far as that is concerned. Dr. Shallow, you're going to get yourself in trouble with that comment. And I see many people are responding to that comment that you made. All right, Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at ASFE, where I run the best show of the day.
ESA feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Miles, more reaction for your fellow Vincentian. Journalists with such reputations and professionalism won't put rumor on the table like that. He should be a bit more prudent. You're getting some lashes, Dr. Shell. How do you respond to that?
Andrew, unless it is a fuck, right? let me tell you, I've received threats of legal action from being on this program already.
I know that.
Last time I was on this program, I received a chat.
Really?
After. Yes. We could talk about it offline.
Oh, my God.
Very careful.
By the way, Dr. Shallow, time is tight. Did you hear the voice note going around purported in relation to a good friend? But he said it is not true. Of course, we're talking about Calvin Hope. Did you hear that, Dr. Shallow?
I need to have a few attorneys. Fellow, are you available to represent me?
What an interest. In fact, I spoke to him today. He said to me
if Fellow says that he is available to represent me, I will answer you very frankly.
Well, it's a very...
Dr. Shallow, you watch the third test match between Australia and fifth test match between Australia and India. You saw a man named Bowling, bowling so consistent he was.
Lovely, yeah, lovely, yeah. Fellow. Lovely, lovely.
Stay here, Chris. Let me answer you for my crease, Andrew.
Yes.
I like to be frank, and one of the reasons why people tend to listen to me and agree is because they know when I answer them, it is answered from a position of honesty, right? Now, generally, I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to people, right? But quite frankly, in this case, I find it difficult to do so.
Okay.
Right? And it's for obvious reason. You know, I know the gentleman in question. I'm very familiar with his personality. And the truth is, I mean, though AI is a magnificent tool with endless potential, I from my position, I'm yet to learn of a tool that so perfectly imitates anyone, And but the jury's still out, Andrew.
The jury's still out. The jury's out. The jury's still out. Yes.
You know, what I would say though, in all seriousness,
yes,
is that, and everyone know that I have the highest regards for Prime Minister the Honorable Mia Mottley.
Mm.
And she is the region's champion, and I say that with no regret.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, of course, region. Yes. The undisputed leader.
He's well loved and respected across the globe, especially in the Caribbean. I could tell you something from St. Vincent's perspective. She's well loved.
Mm.
And it is unfortunate anyone would even, whether it's fabricated or otherwise,
mm.
would say those remarks against our regional leader, some such great integrity and esteem. So, you know, I would be happy if someone could come forward and apologize to the Prime Minister, right?
Mm.
For that. And I would just say for now, but it's always not something want to be associated with anyone in cricket. Certainly not at Cricket West.
Very interesting comments. I actually spoke to Conde Riley. You know, here at Mason and Guest, we certainly do our stuff. We've got another 4 minutes left in the show, and Conde was very economical in relation to his response. I got to be careful when I use that word, you know, because I got in some trouble. But
I think that was one of the reasons I was starting to get those chats.
Yeah, I know. Yes, and of course, Conde did in fact say to me that they may very well make a statement on it. It's something that needs to be dealt with. There's no question about that. And I'm sure that my good friend Calvin Hope knows that as well. Gentlemen, we've got 4 minutes left on the show. Let me come back to you, Miles, before I go. I know with interest that Rion Griffith has been fired and Nikita Miller's taken over. Can you explain? That's what Basil Butcher told me. You fired Rion Griffith and replaced him in Nikita Miller.
Oh, certainly not the case, Andre. I would hope that for the new year that you keep the same standard of sourcing information
and no rumor, no rumor,
in good stead.
No rumor,
exactly.
No rumor.
Another rumor.
That's another rumor. Yes. Yeah. But so what's the position, though?
Griffith is very much still a part of the fray. Rian Griffith is still very much a part of the fray.
Mm.
He as well has an opportunity in a league tournament. And as we spoke about earlier, we expect that the bulk of the work will be done by spinners in Pakistan.
Okay.
And so Nikita Miller, who is one of the persons who have been leading in that area, there is a very good opportunity for him to be there to support our spinners.
So Miller's there because he's a spinner. Is that what you're saying to me? Miller's taken over from Rion Griffith because he's a spinner. Is that what you're saying?
Rian Griffith has an opportunity in a league tournament, and it provided us with the opportunity to give Nikita Miller that opportunity to go and support our spinners.
Well, it's a pity that time has flown, because I certainly would have responded to what you just said just now. Dr. Shallow, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Miles Bascom, I understand, Dr. Shallow, that you're doing very well in the constituency. While I was there in St. Vincent, I went to the constituency and a poll was done and you're leading. I'm sure you know about that. Don't you, Dr. Shallow? I heard that you're leading. Is that true?
Andrew, I look forward to a very productive
day. Wonderful. Always a pleasure to have you, Miles Bascom. It's good that you can come and Mason and Guest. And thanks to you, Dr. Shallow. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, of course, who's smiling there at the end. Basil Butcher, who told me some stories about you that we'll talk about later on. Thanks, of course, to fellow Alfonso Wallace, who's home for the final time. I understand he's not going back to England. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bye tomorrow. It's good night.
Right.